This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Ryan Lowe.
Hand off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. Is it four touchdowns?
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
And welcome in to the Fantasy Lowdown. We're here on a Thursday here on Patriots.com radio after a little one-week hiatus last week. But listen, if the Patriots decide to actually play football on a Thursday, we are more than willing to fully cede the floor to them and let them take over as they did last week in one of the more entertaining regular season games in recent memory. Certainly one of the best here at Gillette Stadium. So the Fantasy Lowdown, we weren't with you last week. Hopefully you were still able to win your week despite not getting the advice that you're used to getting from me. Well, obviously, that advice usually doesn't even pan out that well. But anyways, nevertheless, I hope you guys did well in your fantasy week last week. This is week number 12 in the NFL, week number 12 in the fantasy football season, which really means, hard to believe, there's really only three more weeks left in your normal fantasy football season. My, how time has flown by. But we will get to some of the key news and notes in the NFL, including the very latest on tonight's game, and we do have some information on that. As you get set to set your fantasy lineups for the week, be sure to send us an email at webradio@patriots.com. We already have a handful in the inbox that we're going to get to shortly, but we also want to hear from you, find out what your key decisions are as you set your lineup for this week, any questions you might have, or you just want to vent because you still haven't gotten over the loss of Tom Brady, or whatever you might have. 508-543-7482 happens to be the phone number. If you'd like to check in with us by phone, that's great. But, you know, we are kind of email-driven here on the Fantasy Lowdown and the rest of Patriots.com radio. We love to hear from you. This show is for you. Hope you've been enjoying it as much as I have throughout this season, the first year that we've been doing this show and trying to get it off the ground. We've had some good guests. We'll have more to come as the season goes on. But be sure to check in with us at webradio@patriots.com. We'll be checking in with you. A lot to get to. We'll certainly get to some of the leaders in the Week 11 fantasy week that just went by and talk about some of the key news and notes. You know, we got Pittsburgh-Cincinnati tonight, and we started with these Thursday night games a couple weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago, we had Eric Casilius on, and he was talking about Brady Quinn's debut, which was going on later that night. So far, two really good games for the NFL Network, the Cleveland-Denver game and then the Patriots-Jets, of course, last week. Tonight, going into tonight's Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game, not quite as much fanfare for this one, let's be honest. Cincinnati's a terrible team, although, you know, sneakily, they haven't lost a game now in 3 weeks. They won, then had a bye, and then tied. So, hey, I guess you could say that the Bengals are one of the hotter teams in the league. I don't know, maybe, you know, say what you want. Pittsburgh, meanwhile, had one of the oddest games of in recent NFL history last week, 11-10. We know how that game ended. But it was kind of strange because for a team that didn't score a single touchdown on offense, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a sneaky, decent fantasy day. Ben Roethlisberger threw for over 300 yards and didn't have an interception. So if you have Roethlisberger, hey, you could do a lot worse than a 300-yard game with no picks. Hines Ward had a huge game, over 100 yards receiving, and he you know, didn't score a touchdown, but was throwing the ball a lot. If you're in a points per reception league, Hines Ward was big for you. And then Willie Parker ran for over 100 yards. It was 115 and no touchdowns. So for a team that didn't score a touchdown, it wasn't that bad. Now, going into tonight's game, the big news of the day is that Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, however you feel like calling him, he has been deactivated for violation of team rules, a verbal disagreement, it appears, with head coach Marvin Lewis. So, as if things aren't bad enough for the Bengals, they don't have Chad Ochocinco, who is not having a great year. However, things seem to be turning around maybe a tad. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't been terrible. TJ Houshmandzadeh has really been the beneficiary of some relative stability at quarterback there. And Chad Johnson, you know, he had a big game a couple weeks ago, but no Chad Johnson tonight. So if you're listening to this show and you've got Chad Johnson or you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, or, and this is important, you've got Chris Henry, who is probably going to start, you might want to fiddle with your lineup and see what moves to make. But certainly for sure, if you have Chad Johnson and you had him in your lineup for this week, you've got about 4 hours to make a move and take him out of there. You definitely don't want him in your lineup. You might want to consider Chris Henry. Only consider. He's not a great play, but just keep in mind, he might get more balls thrown to him. So that's the news of the day heading into this Thursday night game between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. If you have specific questions on that game and who you might be interested in starting, be sure to let us know, and we'll get to those. A few other news and notes, not necessarily related to tonight's game. Brady Quinn. It looks like he will play against Houston this week, but he does have a small fracture at the tip of his right index finger. Hasn't been great for Quinn these first couple of weeks. However, he's shown, I feel, some signs of being a legit quarterback and maybe a fantasy contributor at some point. Probably not right now if you did pick up Brady Quinn. Felix Jones, who the rookie running back for Dallas, who started out with such a bang, he's now out for the year, a left toe injury. So, you know, you haven't really been able to count on him much the last couple of weeks, but he's going to be out for the year. And one guy I'm really looking at for big things this week, Warrick Dunn. Ernest Graham, Tampa Bay, out for the year. Cadillac Williams, they're optimistic about what he might be able to do. However, I don't think it's going to be as soon as this week. Warrick Dunn, 13-year veteran. He's going to be carrying the load. Now, he'll be carrying the load, which is great for Tampa Bay against any team. They play Detroit. Detroit has the worst rushing defense in the league. I'm high on Warrick Dunn this week. That's one guy I'm high on, and I definitely want to talk to you about that. And if you have any other questions about the Tampa Bay team and who are the studs on that offense, be sure to let us know. Lots of other news and notes we'll get to, and some emails as well. Let's just take a quick look back at Week 11, some of the fantasy, the key fantasy performers. And at quarterback, it starts right here at Gillette Stadium. How about Matt Castle? This, to me, was the first time that he had not just a really good game as a game manager and as an NFL quarterback, but he combined that with huge fantasy numbers. 400 yards passing even. There have only been 8 other 400-yard passing games in Patriots history. Drew Bledsoe, of course, has half of those. And Matt Castle enters that fray, 400 yards, 3 touchdown passes, and no interceptions. Just a terrific game for him. And meanwhile, Brett Favre, 258 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's another solid game. A few others, Kurt Warner, at least as far as yardage, 395 yards, which is impressive. 1 touchdown pass, also an interception and a fumble, so a little bit of downgrade there. Kerry Collins, 230 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an interception. How about Kerry Collins, who clearly is becoming a capable fantasy performer in addition to just leading that Titans team in a solid way. Peyton Manning, 320 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. How about Sean Hill? I've been very impressed with Sean Hill, and I was high on him a couple weeks ago as a sleeper. Also, Tyler Thigpen. Hill last week, 213 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Thigpen, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. I mentioned Ben Roethlisberger and his 300-yard game. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 261 and a touchdown. Donovan McNabb, 339 yards passing. That's really good. 1 touchdown. Hey, that's okay. 3 interceptions and a fumble. Just lousy for McNabb, and that was the least of his worries on that day as they play to a tie against Cincinnati. But McNabb, as we now know, in one of the key NFL stories of the week, did not know that ties existed. Very interesting there. Looking at running backs, Joseph Addai had the first really big game of his season. 105 yards on the ground and a touchdown, 48 yards passing. Receiving and a touchdown. So a huge game for him. I have him on one of my teams. Been a disappointing year, but I got him into the lineup, and I'm happy I did. Steve Slayton, 156 yards and a touchdown. Ryan Grant, 145 yards and a touchdown. D'Angelo Williams, 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was my stardom pick on Patriots Today last week, and that one was one of my rare hits. Jonathan Stewart, his teammate, 130 yards and a touchdown. Frank Gore, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns. Other two touchdown guys, Michael Turner and Maurice Jones-Drew, also Brandon Jacobs and Peyton Hillis, and some others who hit the 100-yard mark. Marion Barber, 114 yards and a touchdown. Marshawn Lynch, 119 yards and no touchdowns. However, he had 58 yards receiving and a touchdown. How about a wide receiver? Justin Gage, the beneficiary of the Kerry Collins rejuvenation, 147 yards, two touchdowns. Another guy who had two touchdowns on the day was Dwayne Bowe. He only had 53 yards receiving, but hey, if you're going to get to the end zone twice, it's all well and good. TJ Houshmandzadeh, 149 yards and a touchdown. Lance Moore, 102 yards and a touchdown. And a handful of other guys who hit the 100-yard mark without a touchdown. Anquan Boldin, what a monster game. 13 catches, 186 yards. The only thing missing is a trip into the end zone. Larry Fitzgerald, his teammate, 10 catches, 151 yards. Just tremendous what that duo is doing, especially Boldin with the injury that he had earlier in the year. Hines Ward, we mentioned, 124 yards. He did not score, though. Wes Welker, Braylon Edwards, Roddy White all hit the 100-yard mark without scoring. And then Jericho Cautry, 87 yards and a touch. Greg Jennings, 64 yards and a touch. Calvin Johnson had 65 yards and a touchdown. So we'll go with Justin Gage as the key performer, the top performer at wideout in last week's games. Some tight ends of note. No one hit the 100-yard mark as far as tight ends. Now, we look at Benjamin Watson, who was the leader as far as yardage, 88 yards receiving and a touchdown. So statistically, also 8 catches in total. Statistically, probably his best game. But that fumble, boy, that fumble hurt his team and hurt his fantasy teams probably as well. Dustin Keller, meanwhile, on the other side, had 87 yards. No touchdowns, but some key plays there in overtime. Jeremy Stevens for Tampa Bay, 84 yards without a touchdown. Zach Miller, 67 yards without a touchdown. Donald Lee scored. Martellus Bennett scored. L.J. Smith scored. Jeff King, Daniel Graham, Vernon Davis, Darcy Johnson. Those are some of the tight ends who didn't have huge yardage days but did hit the end zone. Very good if you have them. And, you know, as far as teams that had good defensive days, how about the Bengals? 3 interceptions and a fumble forced, and that's pretty good for them. The Cardinals, same thing, 3 interceptions. And the Browns as well, 3 interceptions on the first quarter against Trent Edwards and the Buffalo Bills. Webradio at Patriots.com. That is our email address. And, you know, before we get to our first break, we'll start out with a couple of the emails because we do have a bunch already in the inbox before we start the show, and we want to hear from you. There's still plenty of time to get in touch with us and ask us your questions, your fantasy-related questions. All right, this is from Todd. Hey, B-Lo, looking for a little help this week. I need to select 2 running backs out of these 4. Here's what he's got. Marion Barber against San Francisco. Now that Romo is back, he's a no-brainer start. Chris Johnson versus the Jets with Jenkins in the middle. They have been pretty good at stopping the run. Steve Slayton versus Cleveland. He had a huge week last week. Can he repeat it against the 28th-ranked Rush D? And Warrick Dunn against Detroit. Now that Graham is out, he's the starter. Detroit has the league's worst Rush D. Great matchup. All right, I'm going with Barber and Dunn on this one. As I've said over the course of the season, really high on some of these rookie running backs, including Chris Johnson, including Steve Slayton. But I agree with what Todd said. As far as Slayton, going up against Cleveland, a team that you can run against, but I also feel like some of these guys, some of these rookie running backs, it's hard to string them together, and they have these huge games, but tail off maybe the next week. And Chris Johnson going against Chris Jenkins, I think that's a tougher matchup. Love Barber and love the Dallas offense overall this week against San Francisco and in general. I think they're a team that really thrives on momentum, and momentum either helps them or hurts them. When momentum's going well for them, I like all their key offensive guys, so I like Barber. And like I said, Warrick Dunn, you know, pick him up this week if you can. I don't know if he's going to be a guy that you're going to be able to start each and every week down the stretch, but this week, for sure, he's the guy. He's playing this week. They're going against Detroit. He's going to be the workhorse. I love Warrick Dunn this week. And going forward, I think we might see more Cadillac Williams, and we might see more I think they signed someone else. Didn't they sign someone else? I can't remember. But at least for this week, go with Warrick Dunn. All right, Todd continues. I need 3 wide receivers out of this group of 5. Greg Jennings versus New Orleans, pretty much a no-brainer start here too. Lee Evans versus Kansas City. Edwards has been terrible lately, which has really killed Evans. Seriously, 0 receptions last week. Marcus Colston against Green Bay. He had 1 100-yard week since he's been back, but really hasn't done anything else. Vincent Jackson against Indianapolis and Roy Williams against San Francisco. If you need 3 of those, I'd say don't go with Roy Williams. I really like T.O. this week. I really like Jason Witten. I really like Barber. I don't like Roy Williams just yet in that offense. And I definitely would go with Greg Jennings against New Orleans. I'm very hesitant about Lee Evans. I was high on Trent Edwards early on. He's really been a letdown guy over the course of this last couple of weeks, really since he had a concussion against San Francisco, and Lee Evans has been hurt by that. I'd go with Jennings Colston, and Vincent Jackson, if you're asking me. Evans going against Kansas City makes him a little bit of a better option. But, Todd, I'd go Jennings, Colston. I think Jennings and Colston, honestly, are two must starts. If you have those two guys on your roster, I mean, Colston, yeah, he hasn't been huge, but I still like Drew Brees. Been a couple of slower weeks for Brees to Colston, but go with Jennings and Colston, and Vincent Jackson receiving the ball from Philip Rivers definitely makes me think that he's going to be a solid option this week as well. So, Todd, thank you very much, as always, for your email. Another one. This is from Ottawa Brent. Hey, B-Lo, I've got two quick positional questions for you. At QB, I have Tony Romo and Matt Ryan. I've been starting Ryan the last few weeks, and he has been pretty good. Last week, I stuck with Ryan because I was nervous about the splint on Romo's finger, which was the right decision. What do you think is the right choice this week? No question about it. Romo is the guy to start between Romo and Ryan. Like Ryan, I still like Ryan. I think Ryan's a suitable starter. They're going against Carolina, a team that's surging. And but Tony Romo, Dallas hosting San Francisco, this really is going to be the week, I think, that all systems go for that Dallas offense. That's what I'd have to say. And I bet if you look at most rankings of quarterbacks going into this week, if you check out guys at ESPN.com, RotoWorld.com, some of the places I go to, I would definitely say that Tony Romo will be well ahead of Matt Ryan. I'd go with Romo. Brent continues, at the running back position, I have Brian Westbrook, Brandon Jacobs, Joseph Addai, Reggie Bush, and Kevin Smith. Of these, I can start only two. Ooh, two out of those five. Most of this season, I've been playing Westbrook and Jacobs, but Jacobs is questionable with an injury this week, and Westbrook is playing the Ravens. Bush is still not healthy, and Addai just had his first real productive day last week. Not sure who to start at this point. I'm leaning towards Westbrook and Addai. Your thoughts would be welcomed. All right, let's start at this point. Eliminate Kevin Smith, another guy who had a good week last week, but I don't like these rookie running backs to string them together. And they played they played Tampa Bay. I'd eliminate Kevin Smith. I'd pretty much eliminate Reggie Bush. It doesn't look like he's going to play this week. If you see that changes, he could be a very intriguing option against Green Bay. But they don't play till Monday night, so we probably won't know till Sunday or Monday. I'd probably eliminate Bush. That leaves you Westbrook, Jacobs, and Addai. Let's look at the matchup here. Joseph Addai, Indianapolis at San Diego. Loved what Addai did last week. Going into the season, you consider Addai a must-start every week. I'm getting close. Not there yet. I'm getting close to saying that he is a must-start. Brandon Jacobs does have that injury issue going against Arizona. I would say with Jacobs that if you find out that he's definitely starting, and maybe we'll know later on in the week, I would definitely start Brandon Jacobs. I think he's a touchdown scoring machine. Now, I am seeing that he did return to practice on a limited basis today, and Tom Coughlin sounds optimistic about his status. So I think it looks like he's probably going to start, and that would be a good thing. Philadelphia, Brian Westbrook at Baltimore, tough matchup. But I'd probably stick with Westbrook. My guess right now, I like Westbrook and Jacobs slightly over Westbrook and Addai. Slightly. I'm close to saying Addai is a must-start. I just, if Jacobs is healthy, I can't see not starting him. I can't see not starting Westbrook. But if those three guys are healthy, Westbrook, Jacobs, and Addai, you've got a tough call each and every week. So monitor that Jacobs situation over the next couple days. If he's healthy, if they're all healthy, I go Westbrook and Jacobs right there, and then Addai as well. We've got more emails to come. Webradio at Patriots.com. We're going to check out some fantasy rankings going into this week, and a very interesting column that I read on ESPN.com with a very interesting thought process as far as looking at fantasy players this week and this season. We'll get to that in just a bit. You're listening to the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Well, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. My name is Brian Lowe, bringing you some fantasy advice, tips, answering your questions every week here from 4 to 5 and replayed in the evenings on Thursdays from 9 to 10, web radio at Patriots.com. That's the way to reach us, and some people already have. We'd love to hear from you with your questions on who to start, who to sit. 508-543-7482 is another way to reach us. That is through the use of a telephone. We talked about Chad Johnson being deactivated for tonight's game between Pittsburgh and Miami. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. So that is the big fantasy news as we approach the Thursday night game. Tonight, I'd just like to get back to one thing. We got an email from Ottawa Brent, who had questions about which of the two following running backs to start, Westbrook, Jacobs, Adai, Bush, and Smith. I should also point out, very important, Brian Westbrook dealing with an injury too, and he missed practice again on Thursday. Tough matchup for him, and if he's at less than 100% as well, that might be one that you'll want to reconsider. So, Brent, let me just update what I said there. Let's figure if they're all healthy, or even if they're a little banged up here and there, maybe Jacobs and Adai is your best combination there. So track Brian Westbrook, track Brandon Jacobs. Adai looks like the healthiest and the most set to go. The matchup against San Diego, a Sunday nighter, maybe we should reconsider right there. So keep in mind the Westbrook injury and the Jacobs injury. And another guy we'll look at here who has an injury concern and has really since when his team played the Patriots, Steven Jackson. He's out for this week's game. But looks like they're putting him through lots of workouts. They'll be putting him through some workouts, and maybe he'll be good to go for their game in Week 13 against the Miami Dolphins. Matthew Berry on ESPN.com, the talented Mr. Roto, who's pretty much a must-read each and every week during the fantasy football season, and really during fantasy baseball, basketball as well. I know he contributes a little bit there as well. In his weekly column, talented Mr. Roto column, he has a very interesting thought here that he gives an anecdote about talking with Michael Smith of ESPN, formerly from here in this market, the Boston Globe. And I guess, Michael Smith said to him, "Is there anyone more fun to own than Brandon Jacobs?" And here's what Matthew Berry says. "The way Jacobs is running these days, I had to agree with Michael, and it got me thinking. Since I did a blog last week about all the things I hated, maybe I go the other way and share some love, because Michael's right. There are some guys who are just fun to own. Terrell Owens is the counterexample. He is a great fantasy player who produces more often than not, and every once in a while he puts up a game that wins you your week going away. But for me, it's never been fun to own him, you know? He's petulant, he's moody, he's insane. All allegedly, in quotes, of course, as far as the attorneys are concerned. So here now, in no particular order, are my 10 guys who are the most fun to own this year. This is Matthew Berry talking. Here are the 10 guys who are the most fun to own. Anquan Boldin. You want to talk about being a real man? Because Anquan Boldin not only wrote the book on it, he can tear the hardcover in two with his bare hands. Chris Johnson. The way he slashes, the way he runs with abandon, the way his dreads bounce in the air. We always love it when one of our preseason sleepers pans out, and Johnson was one of mine. Tyler Thigpen. Come on, you knew he was making my list. Adrian Peterson. You want to talk about watching a man? Calvin Johnson. Or a beast. Clinton Portis. For me, it's the yards after contact. Contact with other football players, I mean. It's not like I've hugged him or anything. Kurt Warner. If you have him, you probably got him late, and he lights it up every single week. Wes Welker. He's like a little jitterbug and always seems to be around the ball. Just a fun, gutty little guy. Joe Flacco. He's throwing passes. He's catching passes. He's running. Just a little bit of everything, and you can tell I'm wacko for Flacco. And after every one of them, much fun to watch. And finally, Troy Polamalu. IDP leagues are still more for the hardcore, but if you are in one, is there a guy that's more fun than Polamalu? The one-handed interception Sunday night puts him on this list for eternity. I just found it to be a very interesting way to look at it. Doesn't help you win a league necessarily to have a fun guy, but his point is there's some guys who are good players, good fantasy players, but for whatever reason, they're just not all that fun to own. To me, Ryan Grant would be in that category. Then there are guys who are just fun to own, whether it be because they produce just about every week or at least they're entertaining enough and produce enough that even in their bad weeks, you give them credit for what they've done. I like Steve Slayton as one of those guys this week. So if you have any thoughts on that, be sure to email us, webradio@patriots.com. Matthew Berry giving us an interesting take here. Now, meanwhile, Matthew Berry has his week 12 players that he loves, and always fun to check out that list as well. He really likes Willie Parker against the Steelers. He's healthy this week. Now, hey, Willie Parker not healthy every week, but when he is, you got to go with him. And with Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh this week is they face, well, tonight against Cincinnati. Their offense are definitely players that you'd want to consider. Ben Roethlisberger, Hines Ward, maybe even Santonio Holmes as well. TJ Houshmandzadeh, now that Chad Johnson is out for tonight, is definitely a strong pick. A couple others that he loves for this week, Steve Slayton and Amon Green of the Houston Texans. Houston going up against Cleveland, maybe a chance for some of those guys to run the ball a little bit. He likes Marshawn Lynch this week for the Bills, saying, hey, it's about time. They play Kansas City. Nothing like timing when it comes to an offensive player going up against Kansas City. That's one way to get yourself on track. Kansas City, Tyler Thigpen. I'm Wiggy for Thiggy. That's what Matthew Berry says. And Kansas City, you know, playing Buffalo. Buffalo reeling. They've lost four games in a row, 4-5 or 5-6. And you might want to consider those guys as well. He likes Matt Castle. Here's what he says. Double-digit fantasy points in four of his past five games and at least 15 points in three of them. He's thrown for more than 200 yards in four straight, and yet people still don't believe. He's being started in only 16% of ESPN.com leagues, and that number needs to go up against the Dolphins team currently ranked 20th in the NFL against the pass. And hence, Matthew Berry also likes Welker and Moss. Thinks Moss gets back into the action this week. Ted Ginn Jr. is another guy that he loves for this week. And among the ones, the players that he hates, every Bengal except Houshmandzadeh. Yes, short weeks favor offense. They don't completely remake them, though. Also doesn't like Trent Edwards. More and more week by week, it just seems like he's a guy you can drop. And almost all your Jets. That's what he says about the Jets going into Tennessee. Keller, Dustin Keller is the only one I like in this game. Matthew Berry, check him out on ESPN.com. Always an entertaining read. And he's got different columns each and every day, pretty much, the crew at ESPN.com. We were fortunate enough to talk to Eric Casilius a couple weeks ago. He had some great insight. Very entertaining guy when it comes to fantasy. You can check out his he has a chat every Friday and contributes as well to their all their fantasy football content over the course of a week. A few other emails that I do want to get to. Where are my emails? Here they are, right here. Let's hear from we hear from Matt right now. Got a couple of quick ones for you this week, B-Low. What are your thoughts on Sean Hill against the Cowboys? My only other option is Trent Edwards, and he hasn't done much at all. Okay, my thoughts on Sean Hill I've been impressed. I like him. He was a sleeper in my mind a couple weeks ago, fantasy-wise. Now, against the Cowboys, I did have my rankings right here in front of me. Not that you can go by rankings, statistical rankings all the time, but Dallas against the pass. Dallas is seventh in the league right now against the pass, which is, you know, right up there, top quarter of the league. Don't love Sean Hill, but when it comes to Sean Hill or Trent Edwards, right now you've got to trend towards Sean Hill. You know, Edwards going up against Kansas City this week is a little more appealing than in a lot of other weeks, based on the Kansas City defense, and they are 27th against the pass. But at Kansas City is a tough place to play, and has been known to rattle young quarterbacks before. If Trent Edwards was doing well, maybe I'd say go ahead and start him. But I like Sean Hill. I like what he's done. You know, he had some mistakes there in that game, that Monday night game against against Arizona, that hurt him. But I think he's the kind of guy that can get you over 200 yards passing in a game like this against the Cowboys, and maybe get into the end zone via the air once or twice as well. Might have to deal with a pick, but I think, you know, seeing Trent Edwards throw three interceptions in the first quarter, I just don't see how you can feel comfortable starting him. So, Matt, if you're going with Hill versus Edwards, give me Hill this week. Another question out of Matt. I can start two receivers, two running backs, and one flex player from the following: Mo'Eldy Moore, Marshawn Lynch, Ryan Grant, Peyton Hillis, Steve Smith of the Carolina Panthers, not the Giants, Larry Fitzgerald, and Dwayne Bowe. What do you think? All right, so two receivers, two running backs, one flex player, basically five total. Let's just look at the running backs first. Mo'Eldy Moore, Marshawn Lynch, Ryan Grant, Peyton Hillis. As long as Willie Parker is healthy, I just don't see how you can justify starting Moore. Marshawn Lynch, very intriguing guy this week. We mentioned him earlier going against Kansas City. And because that passing game isn't going to be doing much, I don't think. I think Marshawn Lynch is a guy that you can consider starting and feel pretty good about. Ryan Grant, not a huge fan this year, but they're going against New Orleans. It's at New Orleans, but, you know, the New Orleans run D, middle of the pack. New Orleans D in general, not all that good. I like Ryan Grant. Peyton Hillis, you know, it looks like he might be their guy again this week. You know, he's had a couple of big games. They've got Tatum Bell in there. I just don't feel too comfortable with him at this point. You know, they are going up against Oakland. Not a very good run D, but I don't know. Maybe as a flex, I'd probably say right now go Lynch and Grant out of those four, Matt. And then as far as your two receivers between Steve Smith, Larry Fitzgerald, and Dwayne Bowe, you know what? You're probably starting all three of those guys. I don't see how you can sit Larry Fitzgerald the way that offense is going. Didn't get into the end zone last week, but, you know, Arizona playing the Giants, you know, I don't think it matters who the opponent is. And Dwayne Bowe, I think this Tyler Thigpen, Dwayne Bowe, I was going to bring that up in a little bit, has been great. And, you know, Steve Smith, Carolina at Atlanta, go with him. I don't see where you can go wrong there. Check out some of the rankings, you know, on some of the sites that you most like. But certainly Fitzgerald will definitely be up there. I like Dwayne Bowe a lot, and Steve Smith always up there. If I had to go with my five out of that, Matt, I'm going Marshawn Lynch, Ryan Grant, Steve Smith, Larry Fitzgerald, Dwayne Bowe. And I wish you luck on those questions there. And one other question Matt had here. I can start three of the following wide receivers. All right, here we go. Randy Moss, Vincent Jackson, Dwayne Bowe, Nate Washington, Hank Baskett, Justin Gage, or Donnie Avery. Matt, going to scold you on the spelling there. Donnie Avery, don't you know Donnie instead of Y? Boy, I don't know what you're thinking there. But that's beside the point. When it comes to fantasy, you don't have to spell the names right. Some very
idiot.
That wasn't me. I didn't say idiot. That wasn't me. But I just expect more out of you, Matt. Anyways, looking at these wide receivers here, you know, Randy Moss, I'll tell you what, you know, he only had a couple of receptions the other day. One was a touchdown. You know, each week we think, you know, this could be the one, this could be the week that Castle gets the ball into Moss's hands deep. They've been going, they've been trying it just about every week. And you figure a law of averages, you know, they're going to hit one or two of these. I think this could be the week because Miami's secondary is really not very good, and they're vulnerable against the pass. Castle definitely has some momentum going his way. I'd start Moss. I think Moss could have a pretty big week. And like I said earlier, I do really like Dwayne Bowe. Now, I think to me, your intriguing question Listen, actually, Donnie Avery, I like a lot. I just don't. I think the only way you start Donnie Avery is if you think St. Louis is going to be down so big, so early, like they were last week, that Bulger is just going to keep on going deep. I think Chicago might have a little bit of fight in them this week. I think St. Louis could have another struggle. So Donnie Avery is interesting. Hank Baskett and Nate Washington haven't shown me enough consistently to feel like I can start them. So between Vincent Jackson, Justin Gage, and Donnie Avery, here's where you have some interesting questions. Justin Gage, hey, you know, maybe you look at that one as let's ride the hot hand, and we've seen what Kerry Collins has done getting the ball to Justin Gage, and he might he might be moving up some rankings. Vincent Jackson is to me a pretty intriguing guy. Maybe hasn't been a great yet, but he's definitely when you're catching the ball from Philip Rivers, who I still think is pretty good, going against Indianapolis, we've seen what some teams have been able to do in the air against them. So I'm going Moss. I'm going Bo. I don't know. I might go Justin Gage there as your third guy. Like I said, eliminate Nate Washington, eliminate Hank Baskett from your decision there. Jackson, Gage, or Donnie Avery. Again, Avery, if you really think that Chicago is going to be blowing out St. Louis, and you think Mark Bulger is going to have no other choice but to go deep to Donnie Avery, think about him. But, hey, let's ride the hot hand. Let's go with Justin Gage. Moss, Bo, and Gage. That's my answer right there, Matt. I hope I help you out there. We'll see. I'll be curious to see how that works out this weekend as you go through your fantasy week. Just a few other topics that I jotted down as I was getting ready for the show today. The Patriots running game. The Patriots running game has been a topic of interest in these parts, of course, both in terms of the actual team and fantasy-wise. Could this be the week that Sammy Morris finally comes back and is the lead running back for this team? I'm guessing that it will be the day. He will get more carries, I'm guessing, than he had in the last couple weeks. Again, you know, he played a little bit last week. The last we really saw of him was that Denver Monday night game, and he was a beast. He had a career-high rushing day with a long touchdown in the first half alone, and then we just didn't see him again. And that was a month ago, really a month ago today, believe it or not, October 20th. So it's a question. Is Sammy Morris a fantasy starter? Hard to say that he is at this point. You got to give it another week to see if he is the lead back. But you probably can't really afford to start any of the Patriots running backs. That's a problem here this week. Like these other weeks, I don't see how you can start Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Maybe Kevin Faulk. Kevin Faulk to me is always an intriguing flex guy. Hard to always tell what kind of touches he's going to have, but you know that he's going to be in the mix. So you might consider Morris, you might consider Faulk as flex guys, but overall, tough to figure on that Patriots running game. But the interesting thing is, again, Lamont Jordan has not been at practice. It seems like maybe he's had a setback. It looked like a week or two ago that he was on the road to recovery from his injury and maybe would get in the mix, but not happening quite yet. It was great to see Joseph Addai. I have Joseph Addai on one of my teams, scoring the running touchdown, the receiving touchdown, kind of putting it all together. And let's, I'm hoping, at least from my fantasy team, not so much because I'm rooting for the Colts by any means, but hoping that Joseph Addai can get into a little bit of a rhythm. I've been pleasantly surprised by Tyler Thigpen. How can you not be? The guy can run a little bit. He's throwing the ball pretty well. And it's just so surprising based on how bad he was the first chance he got earlier on in the season. But Dwayne Bowe owners are certainly the key beneficiary of the Tyler Thigpen emergence as a quarterback in Kansas City. And, hey, it'll be interesting to see what that team does at the quarterback position going forward. Certainly you have to figure Thigpen is ahead of Brody Croyle as far as the long-term prognosis for that team. But we'll see what he can still do down the stretch. The Saints, the Saints are still producing offensively. It hasn't been quite the stretch. Drew Brees' stretch hasn't kept up the way it was early on in the middle part of the season. It's just interesting that last week, they put together a pretty good offensive day. It was more Lance Moore and Pierre Thomas rather than the guys you would expect from the Saints offense, or Reggie Bush, Jeremy Shockey, and Marcus Colston. Those guys producing a little bit, and Colston again. Colston and Bush limited in the Saints Thursday practices. I'm still high on Drew Brees and that offense in general. It just may be more of a Lance Moore, Pierre Thomas type of show than some of those studs who we're accustomed to seeing. How about that Giants running game? We've talked quite a bit about Brandon Jacobs so far this week on the show, and he's been just an absolute stud as far as fantasy goes. But how about the other guys? Ahmad Bradshaw, Derek Ward, are those guys players that you would consider, you know, putting in your lineup? Certainly Ward ahead of Bradshaw, but you know, Derek Ward has been an intriguing guy, and if Brandon Jacobs is slowed at all this week, as it seems like he might be, then you've got to consider Derek Ward as a possible option in fantasy. Gotta love the Carolina running back duo, Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams. Last week on the Patriots Today, our fantasy lowdown segment that aired on Friday, I picked D'Angelo Williams as my guy to start, picked Jamal Lewis as my guy to sit, and Tyler Thigpen as my sleeper. Kind of hit on all three, I guess, to some degree, a rare three for me. But D'Angelo Williams, I saw it coming against Detroit. I know it's kind of easy to say, hey, the guy to start this week is the guy going against Detroit. That's what I went with. And it was great to see that he had his big game, well over 100 yards, a long touchdown, one of his two on the day, and Jonathan Stewart, 100 yards and a touchdown as well. We've talked about the Collins, the Kerry Collins, Justin Gage duo and the way they've been hooking up two times last week. That's been impressive to see, because what we've thought about with Tennessee this year is, well, you know, the running backs have been good fantasy performers, but what's really emerging is Kerry Collins, Bo Scaife as a tight end. He's definitely performing well. Not as much last week, but had a good stretch there. And now Justin Gage. So that's an interesting guy to consider. Now, in our fantasy lowdown segment on Patriots Today this week, I have some interesting choices. All three, my guy to start, my guy to sit, and my sleeper are veterans in the NFC. And some intriguing thoughts. I hope you check out Patriots Today later on today. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address here. We still have a few more emails that we're going to get to, and we'd still love to hear from you. We're going to take a look at some of the rankings leading into this week's game, some of my thoughts and some other thoughts from around the web, including rotoworld.com, a great site that I like to go to. Still some time to hear from you here on the Fantasy Lowdown.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar,
the hot nacho bar,
the hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties,
turkey sausage, or veggie. Both served on multigrain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
It's week number 12 in the NFL. This is the Fantasy Lowdown. We're here to help you out for your fantasy week ahead. My name is Brian Lowe from Patriots Today. We're coming with you, coming to you every week. Web radio at patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the way to reach us. We're definitely email driven, and we've got another one from Paul in London. Hey, Brian, did you enjoy your week away from the show? Hey, well, you know, Paul, disappointing to not be able to help you guys out last week and have a show. But hey, if the Patriots are going to play on Thursday, we're going to let them steal the show. Give them the floor for the entire day. That's the way I look at it, and just enjoy the game. And, you know, we kind of have this slotted into a Thursday, so it's hard to mix and match and get it in on a different day. But, you know, to answer your question, no, I didn't enjoy my week away from the show. I enjoy doing the show. Enjoy getting emails from people like you, Paul. So that's your first question there.
You were lying your ass off.
Not true, Dan. Not true. Not true. I enjoy the show. I enjoy when you come on too, Dan, but you know, we'll deal with you later on. I've given up on Eric's League. This is Paul talking on the PFW in progress, PFW League. I've given up on Eric's League as I can't qualify for the playoffs now, but my other 8-team keeper league, I have qualified already and sit in second place and still have to play the first place team. Ooh, interesting, Paul. You got some intriguing weeks coming up. All right, so here's what he's got. Quarterback, he's got Jay Cutler, and we know he's got Tom Brady, Joe Flacco, Tyler Thigpen. I've got to say, Cutler is your guy this week. Flacco and Thigpen, a couple of rookies, intriguing. Well, I think Pay's not a rookie, but a couple of intriguing options. But Cutler going against Oakland, you certainly have to start Jay Cutler there. Running back, Brandon Jacobs, Chris Johnson, and then also Peyton Hillis and Warwick Dunn. Ooh, you got some good options. I told you earlier, I'm very high in Warwick Dunn this week. I might slide him in there instead of Chris Johnson. I might go Brandon Jacobs and Dunn. Keep in mind the Jacobs injury. Like I said, very high in Warwick Dunn. Not necessarily every single week down the stretch. This week, against Detroit, I'm high on him. Go with him if you can. Jacobs and Johnson are fine options, but consider Warwick Dunn there. Wide receiver, Fitzgerald, Welker, Randy Moss, and DeSean Jackson. If you can start three, no-brainer there. You go Larry Fitzgerald, Wes Welker, and Randy Moss. Tight end, Chris Cooley. That's your only one. Kicker, Stephen Gostkowski, and defense, special team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here's what Paul says. Running backs are my main concern as always. Also, I've rotated defense special teams for whoever plays the Raiders. Shall I pick up the Broncos? Well, you know, that is something I was going to get to. I tried picking up the Broncos in one of my leagues and was outbid. Broncos going up against Oakland. I have terrible defenses in this one league. I've kind of like you been going a week to week basis and picking teams up. Made a good move. Picked up San Francisco last week. They had a lot of turnovers. St. Louis started scoring a little bit in the end, so that hurt a little bit. Love your idea of picking up the Broncos. Now Buccaneers though against Detroit. I don't think you need the Broncos. I think rather than get rid of someone else on your team like a Thigpen or whatever, if you have to make a move to get the Broncos, you've got the Bucs at least for this week against Detroit. I'd feel comfortable starting them. Paul says, if Eric is there, tell him he still has Maroney on his team. We've had Eric Scalavino here on the show. He's, you know, you hear him on PFW in progress and also with John Rook. And he jumps in on fantasy leagues here and there, but admittedly doesn't really pay attention. I've gotten on him enough. Not going to get on him now. But I'm not surprised, Paul, to hear that he does still have Maroney on his team. Hey, Paul, wish you luck. You're in second place. You still play the first place team. I wish you luck on that. And I always appreciate you checking in with us and getting your fantasy questions in. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address if you have a question over these final 10-15 minutes or so of today's show. Hey, I mentioned that I was looking to pick up the Broncos D. That's a defense. If your defense is one of those that are so unpredictable, even some of the, you know, you got a couple of really top defenses that you know are going to be there each and every week. But if you're not lucky enough to have one of them, going week to week, if you've got a league that isn't all that deep and there's always some defenses available, is a way to go. There are enough bad offenses out there this year that if you look at who's playing Detroit, you look at who's playing Cincinnati, Kansas City, you look at some of these teams that have bad offenses, and see who's playing them, especially if you can get, if you've got a defense that's at home against one of these bad teams. Hey, you can do a lot worse than going week to week or maybe looking ahead. Now, the trick is, if you've got playoff aspirations and you look like you're going to be in the playoffs, what you want to do is make sure you've got defenses that play during the standard fantasy football playoff weeks, weeks 15 and 16. You don't want to be caught with a mediocre defense that's playing, say, New Orleans, or playing, say, Indianapolis, or playing Denver's offense, Arizona's offense. You know, let's say you picked up the Broncos this week because they're playing the Raiders. Well, if you're going to be in the playoffs, you know, actually, let me look right now. I can check that out right now, who Denver plays in week 15 and week 16. You want the Denver defense this week against against Oakland, but answer this question for me. Do you want them against Carolina, and you want them against Buffalo? Those are the two teams they play during fantasy playoff weeks. Yeah, that's a question you got to ask. That's the that's what you got to do, is look ahead. You got to balance that out, the needs for this week and the needs for your playoff weeks. And, hey, we're in week 12. It's not too early, not too early at all, to start thinking about fantasy playoff weeks if you're in a standard league that has playoffs in weeks 15 and 16. That's just 3 weeks away. We've talked about this Thursday game tonight, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. If you're just joining us, just listening to us, take Chad Johnson out of your lineup if you had him in. He's been deactivated. That's what happens, I guess, when you get into a shouting match the night before a game with the head coach of the team. I mean, if you're going to get into a shouting match with someone, don't make it the head coach of the team. You know, find a teammate and shout at him. I don't know. Just asking for trouble. You know, Chad Johnson, hey, he asks for trouble all the time. He's a questionable guy, you can't always rely on. Now, next week, three Thursday games, of course, because it's Thanksgiving, and you're going to want to keep that in mind. Let's take a look at some of the rankings. Greg Rosenthal on rotoworld.com does his goal line stand every week. Greg's great. Greg, we had him on the show before early on in the season, and his rankings, to me, are must-read. Just simple. He's got good notes, and he's right more often than he's wrong. At quarterback, his number one quarterback for this week, Peyton Manning against San Diego. The San Diego pass defense is ranked last in the league. Peyton Manning, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Kind of a no-brainer right there. So, you know, Peyton Manning, a must-start, of course, going against San Diego.
255, X-block slant, H-disco, alert 12 trap. No.
And if you're lucky enough, as you're watching games this week, maybe you'll stumble upon him in a commercial. You know, rarely does that happen, but maybe you'll see Peyton Manning in a commercial in between all of his touchdown passes against San Diego. That's a big AFC game, by the way, this week, Indianapolis-San Diego. Big game. San Diego, you know, kind of has to win that division to get into the playoffs. Indianapolis trying to make sure that they can solidify their spot.
Go
That's a big game.
Yourself, San Diego.
There you go. There you go. That's the way. There you go, Dan. Like the one of my favorite jingles. How can that not be one of your favorite? Do you have the Dolphins song? Do you have that? Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. Boy, they sing, they play that every time Miami scores. That's one reason why when you go to a game down there, especially if you look at the Patriots, you don't want that to score.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team.
How lucky are we to go to Miami and San Diego this year? There you go. You know, Buffalo has an interesting one, too. I don't know if you can pull that one up, but, boy, when we get into that last week of the season, that's one that, boy, they don't have much to offer up there in Buffalo, Dan. They really, really don't. You know, it's always cold. They don't have a great stadium. Their team's doing terrible, and their jingle isn't even all that good either. But, hey, you know, when you play in the AFC East and you get to go to Miami and Buffalo each year, you get to hear these jingles. Hey, what are you going to do? All right, keeping with these quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, number one. Jay Cutler, number two, going up against Oakland. Cutler, up and down year, but going against Oakland, you're going to want to start him. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay, going against New Orleans, one of the worst pass defenses in the league statistically. So Aaron Rodgers primed for a big game. Kurt Warner, here's how good Kurt Warner is. The Giants have the second-best pass defense in the entire league, yet Kurt Warner's having such a good year that Greg Rosenthal puts him fourth, and how can you argue that? He has been MVP-like, going to Anquan Boldin, Larry Fitzgerald. Drew Brees for New Orleans rounds out his top five, and then Tony Romo, Sage Rosenfels, Jeff Garcia, Eli Manning, and Matt Castle of the Patriots in the top ten. Sage Rosenfels, that's an interesting pick, number seven. You wouldn't typically think that Sage Rosenfels is worthy of being that high up. They're playing against Cleveland. He's got Andre Johnson. He throws a lot of picks, but Sage Rosenfels, maybe this could be a week that he helps you out a little bit. So there's the rankings there, quarterback from Greg Rosenthal. The number one running back on these rankings here, the goal line stand, Adrian Peterson against Jacksonville. Adrian Peterson is a stud. He's your number one guy virtually any week. And, you know, Jacksonville's run defense has been a disappointment this year. So Adrian Peterson, number one. Marion Barber, I said earlier on, I love the Dallas offense this week. I really do. And I think with Tony Romo now having 1 week behind him, coming back from his injury, they're playing San Francisco. They're home against San Francisco. This is going to be a big week, I think, for the entire Dallas offense. And Marion Barber will be right there with them. Matt Forte, the rookie for Chicago, still hasn't hit that rookie wall. They play St. Louis. And as we were talking about the St. Louis offense earlier, if they're down big, they'll be throwing a lot. Well, it goes the other way. If Chicago's offense is up big, they're going to give the ball to Matt Forte, 20-25, maybe pushing 30 times. A great start this week. LaDainian Tomlinson, disappointment overall, but he scored last week. They play Indianapolis. Clinton Portis, number five, at Seattle. And rounding out his top five here at the running back position, Brandon Jacobs, noting that he's questionable with his knee, but if he's healthy, start him against Arizona. Frank Gore, Willie Parker, Joseph Addai, and Steve Slayton. Definitely some good picks there. Now, if we're looking at you know, where he has his highest Patriots player, Sammy Morris, 33rd. So really every single team, you know, pretty much has a running back that you know is good to start ahead of any of these guys. As far as Ronnie Brown, he's got Ronnie Brown at 14. We know what Ronnie Brown did in the Wildcat formation against the Patriots earlier. That was not only his biggest day of the year, but the biggest day for running back in the NFL this season was Ronnie Brown and his four rushing touchdowns. He threw one as well against the Patriots. So Ronnie Brown at the 14 spot on Greg Rosenthal's rankings. Wide receivers, he had Sage Rosenfels number 7 as far as QBs. He has Andre Johnson number 1. Going against Cleveland as far as wide receivers. Reggie Wayne of Indianapolis, number 2 against San Diego. Hey, if you think Peyton Manning's going to be number 1 as far as QBs, you're going to want to figure Reggie Wayne's going to get a few of those. Steve Smith of the Panthers, not the Giants, number 3. And then the Arizona Cardinals duo, Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald, 4 and 5. Boy, that Kurt Warner to Boldin, Fitzgerald, even Steve Breston, that is a great, great offense these days. And, hey, you might want to think about it with them going against the Giants, the second-best pass defense in the league and just one of the best overall defenses in the league. But, hey, the way Kurt Warner's going these days, you got to go with it. Roddy White, disappointing last week. He had 100 yards but dropped what would have been a touchdown. I have Roddy White in one of my leagues. He's up here on Greg Rosenthal's rankings. Greg Jennings, Roddy White, Brandon Marshall, T.O., and Braylon Edwards round out his top 10. I'm telling you, with T.O., the same thing I said with Romo, same thing I said with Marion Barber. I think T.O. is going to get back on track, have his first 100-yard receiving game this week. Listen, anytime he plays San Francisco, you know he's fired up. Same thing if he's playing Philadelphia, you know he's fired up. So you're going to want to go with him. Now, we didn't hear a Patriot in that top 10, but Randy Moss at number 16, Wes Welker at number 22. You know, I think this is a chance that this could be a good Randy Moss game. Wes Welker has been the most consistent guy in the NFL really for 2 years now. He's caught at least 6 passes every single week this year. So Moss 16, Welker 22 there. And as far as any of the Miami receivers, Greg Camarillo is at 40. And Ted Ginn Jr., 47. Real quick, the tight ends. Tony Gonzalez, number 1, Kansas City going against Buffalo. Antonio Gates against Indianapolis, number 2. Dallas's Jason Witten, number 3. Here we go again, another guy I like this week. Dallas Clark at San Diego, Chris Cooley at Seattle, and then Kellen Winslow, who was questionable with a shoulder injury going against Houston. He's 6. Owen Daniels, Greg Olson, Zach Miller, and Bo Scaife rounding out the top 10. As far as defenses go, got to like this one, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against Detroit. No coincidence here. Tampa Bay, Chicago, and Pittsburgh are his 1-2-3. They go up against Detroit, St. Louis, and Cincinnati, some of the worst overall offenses in the entire NFL. Detroit, you know, ranked 28th in overall offense. Cincinnati ranked last, dead last, 32nd in overall offense, and St. Louis 29th. So you're gonna like those guys. Eagles against Baltimore, Titans against the Jets are in the top 5. Then Giants, Ravens, Vikings, Broncos, and Cowboys round out the top 10. I've talked about the Broncos earlier. Tried to pick up the Broncos defense going against Oakland. They're top 10. They wouldn't be a top 10 every week. Trust me on that. They would not be a top 10 every week. They are this week. Patriots, if you're wondering, at Miami are the 14th ranked defense here. And the Miami Dolphins defense going against the Patriots, they are slid in there at number 19. Kickers, I don't really pertain. I don't really give much credence to kicker rankings. You just never know. Stephen Gostkowski is number one on Greg Rosenthal's list. So recapping some of the topics we talked about earlier, Chad Johnson deactivated tonight. Brady Quinn, he's got a bit of an injury, but looks like he's going to try to play. We'll see if Brady Quinn can round into form as a startable fantasy QB. Talked about Warrick Dunn, a guy I'm very high on this week, with Ernest Graham out for the year, Felix Jones out for the year as well. He's got a torn ligament in his left toe. We appreciate all the emails we've gotten today, and I hope you continue sending emails to webradio@patriots.com. I should have brought this up earlier to Dan, our producer. I'm not sure what the schedule looks like for next week. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. We won't have a show that day. Not sure if we're going to squeeze in a fantasy lowdown at all next week.
Maybe we can do it Tuesday or Wednesday.
We'll try to get a fantasy lowdown in there. We really will, because really being honest, last week we didn't do a show, and obviously understandable, but we like to get it in there every week, and we'll keep you informed on Patriots.com to see. Be sure to check out the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots Today in today's show, and check out Patriots Today with Christina Acker and myself each and every day on Patriots.com, and we blog live from every game on Patriots.com. I'll be blogging from Dolphin Stadium in Miami on Sunday. We appreciate you tuning in to the Fantasy Lowdown once again here on Patriots.com Radio. We'll see you next time.